Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of Luke chapter 19. We're going to start with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, of course, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. You know what muttering is? Chit-chat. Kind of somewhat of a whisper. You kind of under your breath, but so people around you can hear it. And it's kind of like a little buzz started to happen. People just buzzing around, talking about this. And what they were muttering was summed up in this phrase: Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Four times the amount was the extreme punishment by law. If you were caught stealing something, it was the extreme punishment would have been four times what you took. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Why were people so taken back, so upset about this wonderful teacher, as some saw him? They didn't all see him as the Son of God at that point. Jesus, he's coming this way. Some have met him, some have heard about him. It draws a crowd. He's walking down the street. If there, wasn't a crowd, Zacchaeus would have never had to climb a tree to see. It's calling a gathering. Jesus is walking through. The setting might be that he was talking, he was teaching. Maybe he was touching people. Maybe he was healing people. Maybe he was picking up children. You know, whatever was going on. And then when he said to Zacchaeus, who was known as a chief tax collector, and of course we know the tax collectors in that time, by and large, they were padding their pockets, they were stealing from the people, robbing from them. And Jesus stops and looks up and says, "I'm going to be a guest in your house today." And what bothered the people so much? You know, the phrase says that, well, Jesus, obviously he must know who that is. He calls him by name. He knew who he was, what he did for a living, knew that he was less than honest and earnest. And people started to talk, wow. And we can be a little misled because we didn't live in the culture. I mean, we would gather, you know, oh, they're really upset, Bible says, because he's going into the house of a sinner. But see, understand that in their thinking and in their time, they have come from a culture and a heritage where meals were very important. Because meals meant something. All of us, we kind of sit down. It's like I've said before, you know, teenage boys, it's not always about the taste, it's just about the volume. It's about consumption. And you are doing your share, son. uh, A meal meant something. It wasn't just filled with sentiment about, oh, it's going to be a nice time together. And it wasn't just the maternal feelings that go on of, oh, our family's together and the table looks nice. And all those things are important. I mean, I enjoy those things. I'm not mocking the maternal things. I grew up with a mother. I'm glad. I'm grateful. I am married to a woman who has an overload of maternal drive and nesting and taking care of things and making things nice. I'm so grateful. But it's not just about that. You see, if you were to look up their heritage, and you can find this in Scripture, different places, that a meal meant something. If you were to look in Exodus chapter 24, you will see where Moses goes up. This is after receiving the Ten Commandments. He goes back up to the mountain. God speaks to him. He writes everything down. He comes back down. He's going to tell the people and that God is his commands, his promises. And you know what they do? They hold a big meal together, a meal that has to do with a covenant. If you were to look in Genesis, you'll find it randomly in their heritage and in the Old Testament where Abimelech and Isaac, okay, they were, Isaac, he dug a well, Abimelech and his shepherds came over and said, that well is ours, that belongs to us, and they were quarreling over the well. Isaac left, began to dig another well, but God made him a promise. He said, I'm going to bless you and take care of you. And Isaac digs his own well, and all of a sudden, here comes Abimelech, the guy he just had grief and quarrel with. And he says, why are you coming here? I understand that God has favored you, and I am coming to, you know, bring an offering and bring and make peace. And so what they did is they shared down to a meal. Do you remember in the American heritage, because most of us in this room only heard about it, some of you lived it when a handshake meant something. Not just greeting, it was done deal. Get it? It meant something. We shake hands all the time now in the way of greeting. You know, it's not always business done with a handshake. I mean, you may leave on a handshake, something like that. But a meal was about a covenant. That is why they were careful about who they had meals with. Because it meant that you associated with them, that you were making a covenant with them. And now, through generations of time of this culture and this custom, we move up to Jesus' day, and Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus, I'm going to go into your house and I'm going to be your guest today. We're going to talk together, we're going to share together, we're going to eat food together, we're going to have a meal together. And the people were not just upset that he was going to be the guest of a sinner, it was that he was going to go and do something that had value and that was sacred. And here Jesus is teaching righteousness and holiness and repentance and truths of life and life-changing power of God's principles. And now on the other hand, in their view, he was now going to have some meal and some covenant with the tax collector. People were bothered by this. They were upset with it. Because it wasn't just about going and having a meal. Because a meal meant something. Now, in our minds today, meals don't mean covenants. But it was a covenant. There was something to it. Jesus, I'm so glad he went and had meals with sinners. And Jesus wasn't breaking the law and wasn't breaking the custom, because Jesus was coming to make a covenant with them. Aren't you and I glad? Think about this. In our future, there is a supper that's coming. A marriage supper. A covenant meal. And understand that there will only be one righteous in attendance. And yet we get to go. That his righteousness was granted and given to those who are equal to chief tax collectors. That's you and me. Same type of violation. Same group of people. Sinners. And yet we can go. Jesus is here on earth and he's going and eating. Look at in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. This Zacchaeus thing was not a one-time incident. It wasn't like Jesus went, "Oh, I said this, now I got to do it. Oops." And it was a one-time deal. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had a reputation of this. It's because of who he was, who he is. Jesus, verse 9, Jesus went up from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told me, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" In other words, why is he in there? And why is having something so important as a meal, which is a covenant thing, with these ungodly people? On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus has a covenant with sinners. Do you understand that Jesus has nothing to gain? It's just that he loves. I mean, he doesn't need to gain riches or wealth or power or influence or fame or any of those things. The things that are common temptations to humanity. In that sense, he has nothing to gain. He does this because he loves them. And they have everything, possibly, to gain. Eternity. Forever saved. Free from the body and the toils of this life. And the moment comes where they can step into an eternity with God because they believed in him. To me, that's everything has been gained. This life is over. Do you understand that after you leave, all the stuff in this life to you who is gone, it's done. Some of you are saying, "Oh, no." And some of you are saying, "Can't wait." Jesus had a reputation of going and eating with people, making covenant with those who were less desirable morally from the view of those from the religious community. And by the way, it was not always based upon God's true and pure word, but sometimes the contortions of men to hold power and what they thought was righteous outwardly, while inside they were corrupt, far from God. Jesus goes because, like a doctor to the sick, a doctor has a covenant to sick people. Did you know that? A physician has this covenant with sick people. I am here to do my very best to make you well. That's the physician. And Jesus uses that as an example. Like the sick need a physician. A physician comes for those who are sick. Jesus says, I've got that kind of covenant with people who are lost. And I will go to them and I will have a meal with them. It doesn't mean that he was party to immorality of their life. It doesn't mean that he was party to the wild and vain lifestyle that maybe some of them lived. It doesn't mean that he came in to agree with them morally. He was coming from his point of view, from sent by God to make a covenant with sinners. To show himself and to say, I will enter into covenant with you. I'm willing to have a meal with you. Seal the deal with you. Because I love you and care about you. I'm willing to do my part of the covenant. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 19. Jesus is speaking because they were criticizing John the Baptist for not eating and drinking. Okay? John the Baptist, I mean, there wasn't a man like him. He was pretty rare. He didn't come eating or drinking. And now Jesus comes and he eats and drinks, and he's being condemned for that by the same people who condemned John for not eating and drinking. You understand how corrupt, righteous, religious, lost people think? Can't ever please them. That's for sure. And Jesus says, John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came and eats and drinks, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of collectors and tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus says, wisdom is proved right by her actions. Part of it was that those who criticized him in the religious community, they weren't really growing and being fruitful, and people were still lost and trying to gain their salvation by works and by the law, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus comes with wisdom, and all of a sudden converts and the kingdom of God is fruitful, and people are being changed, and people are discovering who God is, and wisdom is proved right by her actions. Jesus came to rescue people. That's his covenant. Jesus came to heal people. How many of you eat? Some of you need to put two hands up. I'm one of them. Because we eat, you and I can do this. We can do this. Jesus says on one occasion, when you hold a banquet, you know what's coming. Don't just invite those who can invite you back, for then you will be repaid. And the context is, invite people who maybe can invite you back, who can't repay you. Let me ask you, could you, bless you, you don't have to hold it in, let it out, that'll hurt you. The context is that we can invite people who can't repay us back. or they don't necessarily invite us back. Could you ever repay Jesus back? But he invites us. Who are you eating with? Who are you covenanting with? For the sake of the kingdom. They still say in the studies that the majority of business, that companies come together and do, that the majority of the deals are still done over a meal. When we sit down at our house for a meal as a family, I've lost sight of something. He's smiling. Yeah, I can't wait to lunch. I've lost sight of something. I enjoy, and it's not as often because you know how this is with stage of life and teenagers. They're running everywhere. When they're small and at home, hey, they're there. I've lost sight of the meal that we share together as a family is still the sign of a covenant. I've started looking at it different. It's still a reminder of a covenant. That they are there to serve me. No, I'm kidding. Still a covenant as a family. That we love each other. We're going to share life together. That the table is a place of peace and laughter and joy. Because we all eat, we can do this. Proverbs says this. You're thinking, oh, well, I can't afford a big fancy meal and I don't have a big fancy home. And hey, Proverbs says this. Better a meal with vegetables that is done in peace, in the unity of covenanting, agreement, than the richest of fare with strife. All of a sudden, the point isn't just the food. The point is the covenant of people, the covenant of God with those who don't deserve. I mean, even if you considered yourself pretty righteous and you never smoked, never drank, never chewed, never, all whatever your moral life demands are, though you never broke any of those, do you still think you deserve to eat a meal with the Son of God? You see, we still fall short. And yet he still invites. In Psalm 23, and it's in verse 5. Now, Psalm 23, it's a psalm that, the Lord is our shepherd. And it's a beautiful psalm, and we read it at funerals a lot. But there's a verse in there, verse 5, the first part of that verse, that says, and he's talking about God, he's talking about the Lord, the shepherd who is good, who walks with us through the valley and all of this. He says, and the Lord prepares a table, a meal, for me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Understand that there's a custom, a code, a law that says if you are an alien or if you are a foreigner and you are being pursued, you are being chased, they want to, you know, kill you. They want to hurt you. They have some revenge or vengeance or attack towards you. That if you are an alien or foreigner and you've come into a city and into that city or into that place or into that countryside where someone would take you in, that your pursuers cannot come into that house or on that property and have their way with you. And the psalmist is saying, in the presence of my enemies, the ones who are chasing me, the ones who are coming after me, you make a table for me, a meal. You've made a covenant with me that my pursuers cannot come into the fortress of your invitation and openness to take me in. That you will prepare a table for me, food for me. You will have a covenant with me that I am yours. That we belong together. That you will protect me. That's the kind of covenant and meal that the Lord offers you. Because you are an alien in this world. You are not a citizen of this world. You live in this world, but your citizenship is where, according to Scripture?
Heaven.
You got it. Heaven. Here we are in this foreign land. An alien. You're being pursued by the enemy of your soul. He is setting traps. He's trying to attack. He preys upon your sinful nature that was under the blood and died. He tries to get us to resurrect the old man in us, the former ways. And Jesus after you. Scripture gives such an accurate description of what temptation and sin is like when it talks about it's crouching outside your door, waiting to pounce on you. And yet, Jesus says, I will covenant with you. I will prepare a table for you right in the presence of the enemy, where he cannot come, where he cannot rob, where he cannot steal, where he cannot cheat, where he cannot destroy you. That is what the meal with God means. He's offering a covenant to a wanderer, a covenant to someone who is lost, who's poor, who's broken, who's acquainted with pain, has no place to put his head. He comes to covenant. It wasn't about them just being upset that he's going to have a meal with someone they think that he shouldn't associate with if he was really all that righteous. It wasn't just that. So he's going and he's eating with them. Does he not know that a meal means something? You who are the benefit, we who are the benefit of such a covenant. Here's my question. Here's God's question to me, to you. Who are you eating with? Is it the same old people? All the time? Hey, you still have to have meals of friendship, meals of covenant of friendship, meals of family covenant. But who are you including? Who are you covenanting with on behalf of the kingdom this covenant of salvation and reaching. I joked with my wife, but I was so excited when she let me know that her and I are invited to an open house coming around the holiday, not because it's prominent people and attorneys and all of this of the Sparta area. So we get to go into their home, and we were invited. And yeah, they're going to serve poison. Doesn't mean I'm swallowing any of it. But I'm going to go because I am bound by a covenant that someone made with me. Who are you eating with? Who are you inviting in your home? Who are you taking out? Who's inviting you? I don't want you to look at meal as just a food anymore. It's hard for our family to eat together all the time. It's challenging with our schedule. I understand it. There was a day, a decade, an age where that's what families did every night. I don't have the privilege of living in that decade anymore. And you can criticize that, and Pastor, you need to change your home. You and your family need to be the example and eat your meals at home. Thank you. We'll take it under consideration. But we still eat together. But those meals, they're not the same anymore. And I'll tell you, with those of you who still have children, if you don't eat together once in a while, you're missing something. And it's not maybe so much as you as a parent. But your children are missing something. Who are you covenanting with? I want you to stand up, please, all over this room. I'm so glad that Jesus came and ate food with people who are lost, corrupt, they were sinners. I'm so glad because now an invitation with my name on, Randy Williamson, could be delivered to me. Because he had a history of doing it. It's easy to just go through life with all its busyness, no longer with intent. It's just simply keeping up with demands. And at some point, we almost feel like, you know, the tail's wagging the dog. This is where we need to stop and say, if I'm going to eat today, is it just about food? You're always worried about common ground with people who are lost. The people you don't associate with. You know, where's the common ground? I don't. Listen, all people eat. It's amazing that God put into the custom of his people something that was over a basic need, yet a covenant could be made. It wasn't over some type of performance, or you had to be so tall, or built such and such. You had to run the mile in this, or you had to do some extreme things to ever come into the cup. No. It was food. Meal. Who are you eating with? You know, when we're lost, or when we've been hurt, we're looking for somebody to keep a promise. Did you know that? Who will show up in my life that will ever keep a promise? Jesus keeps covenants, promises. He brings something to the table that isn't served for the body. This is the Jesus, the bread of heaven, served for the soul, for the spirit, which you and I have eaten of. So every time we go to the table, there's food that's served that is not visible to their eye. And yet, it can be seen. I don't know if I'm ever going to look at food or a meal the same way. I just don't know. I mean, maybe if it's going through drive-thru and I'm by myself in a vehicle and I'm on one place to the next and I give way to my growling stomach that really probably isn't hungry. It's just making noise. It's about a covenant that people are looking for. And we have tasted of it. Who are you eating with?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.